All right, if you would, Exodus chapter 17, we'll look in verse 12, and we're going to stay there for just a moment, then we'll pray, and then I'll let you sit down, and we'll get started. Exodus chapter 17, verse 12, it says, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were made steady," or his hands were steadied, "until the going down of the sun." Father, we do come to you again, and Lord, I'm humbled to be in the presence of these individuals and amongst these men. And Father, when I say men, I mean real men. And Father, I pray you just help me calm my mouth and mind. Father, I pray you be with this brother as he gets to the airport. I plead the blood of Christ upon him to protect him. Father, take the curses and dams off the plane. And Father, get him home safe with a lot of money in his hand to do something for you. And we want to lift our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on high, and he get the preeminence. We ask you to bless this now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Dr. Peacock asked me, he said, "Listen," he said, "I want you to give him something." He said, "I don't want 3 points in a poem. And I don't have 3 points in a poem. I do have a couple of questions. How many Bible students do we have in here this morning or this afternoon? You're a Bible student from this? Okay, we've got right here. How many young men called to preach that are young men? Now, most of you guys are way younger than me. I've got shirts older than you. Amen. All right, amen. Okay, got some young men called to preach. How many guys work construction? When I say work construction, I'm not talking about building houses. When I say construction, I mean power plants, paper mill, amen, extrusion plants. We build, we ain't doing red iron, amen, we're doing steel in the air. Okay, amen, all right, got some of them. I do building by trade. That's what I did for years. That's the only thing I know. How many in here know what a lemon head is? If you work steel, you know what a lemon head is. Amen, I can see a brother nodding back here. He knows what a lemon head is. Amen, a lemon head is an electrician. That's what they call us. Because lemon heads are called your Sparky. Alright? And that's my trade. That was the trade that I had, all my life. That's all I know. I don't have a varied background. My background is work. My mother was German. My father was English. All they knew was work. My dad didn't hunt. He didn't fish. He worked. Guess what I learned? Work. That's all I ever did. Work. That's it. I don't have any real cool euphemisms or stories to tell you about, it was work. Mama wanted a garden. We planted a garden. Daddy truck farmed on the side. He was a diesel mechanic by trade, a handyman doing anything else he could do. And he worked all his life, so I drug a toolbox. From the time I was big enough to drag a toolbox, I drug a toolbox. And that's what I did. I learned to work. And so at 17, when I left home, I went to construction and worked. And that's all I've ever done is work. And I traveled and worked. My wife, stand up, babe. It's my good girl right up there. Amen. Stand up. Come on. There you go. That's my wife. Amen. We've been married 28 years. In 28 years, I have moved her 15 times. Yeah. You got sympathy now, baby. She has lived out. That brother that made him live. I made sure I told my wife. Amen. Like I said, I got a little age on me. I've moved her 15 times. She has lived out of a cardboard box. Not lived literally, but I mean opening cardboard boxes and I wasn't that bad, and I was a good electrician, and lived out of boxes, and have drug her all over the country, and I appreciate my wife. She's a good woman. We have 6 girls and 1 boy. Yeah, amen. I'm only 42. No, actually, I'll be 60 next year. Amen. But it's a blessing. I want to take a moment before I get started. I know I'm a little nervous, so I'm trying to settle myself down as well. I want to take a moment and to the local church here, thank you. Thank you for allowing your pastor to help us.
Amen.
Thank you, Miss Peacock, again. I've already told you, you need to get him up there. I'll give you the keys to a car. Y'all just take off. Amen.
Amen.
I do appreciate y'all. I appreciate a lot of you know. I know I was talking to a sister. There she is back here. Amen. Last night, I listen at work. We put in earbuds and we can listen to music and stuff at work until the safety guy sees us. And hell, amen. And we'll listen to our sermon audio. I've got guys on the crew that they listen to sermon audio, and we'll listen to you guys. We listen to Brother Peacock down here. And I know some of you, but I don't know your face. I just know your voice from the amens and the people's names that he calls. And then I'll hear him respond, and I hear that voice. And so I lock in on that voice. And there's four or five of y'all through here that he's talking about. And I don't know if Brother TK's here this morning. I haven't heard his voice, so I assume he's not here. The other sister's here. Amen. Hey, when I don't hear that voice, I start praying. Lord, are they okay? They're not sick, are they? Are they there? Are they okay? I'm listening to Doc preach, but I'm concerned with y'all. Why? Because y'all have been gracious enough to allow him to come up there and help us at a local church and feed us. And I appreciate that.
Amen.
And Brother Dr. Kyle Stevens, amen, brother. Man, I've only got to see him a couple times, talked to him once. It's a real honor. Brother Tim Lambert. Brother Tim's been up there in Michigan on the, man, I remember back when you had hair, brother. Man, you was young. And, he's a good brother. We went up there and went door knocking a couple times with him. Let me give you what I've got here in reference to the text in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 12. I don't want to preach. I'm trying to really get myself out of preaching mode. What I want to talk to you about is being something. A lot of you young men, you're going to end up somewhere with a pastor. And I know you've got your ideas and thoughts on what you want to do for God, and great. I'm glad you do. There's nothing wrong with a dream. Because it's the best thing that can happen to you when you get kicked out from under you and reality slaps you in the face. Amen. Amen. That's not a joke. That's the truth. The best thing that can happen to you is when your thoughts and your dreams get kicked out of the way and you get up out of the mud in your face and you look up and God says, that ain't what I want you to do.
Amen.
Now listen, what you got here is you got a her. A her is this guy here. You don't really see any much more about him after this. You do see some things about his kids. But you don't really see anything about her. But old her is an important fella. You see, none of y'all know me, except for a couple of you. You don't know me. Why? Because I'm a her. Don't look down on me. I'm happy to be a her.
Amen.
You know why? I got to hold the man of God's hand up. You see, I had a pastor. Now, I'm coming from a church that's 114 years old. 114 years old, and in 114 years, it's been King James Bible.
Amen.
That church has been there, and the people that are there, my pastor, who was born there, went to church there, got saved there, got called to preach there, got ordained there. You follow me? His mother is still a member of that church. She's 95 years old. Her twin sister just passed away. My pastor has just graduated to be home with the Lord. His kids are there. His sisters are there. His cousins are there. Amen. And a lot of other people. And up there in the hills, they're very clannish. As you've heard Dr. Peacock talk about. And yeah, we have one of those cemeteries. Amen. And so what I want to talk to you about is being a her. Now, I originally am from the swamp. I'm on just north of the Miccosukee Indian Reservation down there. And that's where I was born and raised. There was 60 miles from nothing. I'm serious. 60 miles in any direction, you can go any which way you want. When I was little, you didn't hit anything. You didn't hit anything going to the coast until you hit Military Trail. If you've been down around Palm Beach, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There was no Wellington in any of that. You go the other way, you didn't hit anything until you hit Moorhaven. If you get north, you didn't hit anything until you hit Okeechobee. If you went south, you didn't hit anything until you hit the outskirts of Miami on 27. There wasn't nothing out there but me, mosquitoes, turtles, and alligators. And that's where I was from. And then God, through Him working on my life, I ended up in Tennessee. What I want to talk to you tonight about is taking over a work from the man of God. Or this morning, or this afternoon. You see, what I want you to get, and I don't want to preach. I'm really trying hard not to preach. I'm trying to roll myself back. Is what I want you to get is it's okay to be a her. Because I'm almost 60 years old, and I've been pastoring not even a year. Amen. Takes a little time. But you know what? I never wanted a pastor. God said to do it. I was happy just being a her. I love that old man. That old man, I wish you could have met him. Real soft-spoken. We were sitting up one afternoon, and I was up on the pinnacle of the church, up on the top of the roof on the ridge, and we were doing some work on the church. And pastor pulled up there, and he said, y'all are up. He said, hey, Brother Jay, when you get a chance, come on down. I need to talk to you. So I said, all right, pastor. And I finished up what I was doing, and I have one of the boys bring a scissor lift over around there, and I slide down the side of the roof there, and I jump off in the scissor lift, and we go down. And hot, sweaty, you know. Got over there, T-shirts, jeans, you know, and I flopped down on the concrete there by the pastor's truck because he's opened the door. Now, his health started to fade by this time, and I popped down there. I said, what you need, pastor? What can I do for you? He said, I need to talk to you. And he said, I've been praying, and he said, I'm going to make you my assistant pastor. And I was doing whatever he needed me to do. I'd been there for quite a few years and taught Sunday school, worked with the kids. I'd have washed his truck if that's what he wanted. I mean that literally. I'd clean up the parking lot. We'd change out toilets whatever needed to be done. That's what we did. And he said, brother, I'm going to make you associate pastor. And I said, well, and he, of course, you know, I'm like, I don't know if I want that. Yeah. I said, well, brother, he said, I'm not asking you. He said, I'm telling you. He said, I've prayed about it, and I'm going to make you associate pastor. What? Be a her? That's what the man of God said. If I'm going to be a good her, I've got to hold up God's hand. Now, I want to tell you the importance. Now, listen, gentlemen, the importance of being a her. Did you know, you understand the text that we're in, that if Moses' hands dropped, what happened? They lost the battle. Is that right? Am I correct? Okay. And so if I'm correct, that means that Joshua, who you've heard about all your life, and even as a kid, you sang about Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and how Joshua's this and Joshua's that. You hear about her. You heard about Joshua, didn't you? Alright? And, you heard that, the fact that Joshua was this and Joshua was that, but Joshua wouldn't have won that battle if her hadn't had that arm. Amen. And you've heard about Moses. Now, was Moses, you know, in the end of his life, his natural, state was not abated? I mean, no, Moses was, in his right faculty, he was as spry as the day. The Lord Bible says, you know, his natural abating wasn't gone. But his arm got tired, didn't it? And you've heard about little Moses in the bull rush. You've sang about him. But you ain't never sung about her. Now notice you've got two great men, Moses, and you've got Joshua. And if it wasn't for her, Moses couldn't have kept his arm up, and Joshua couldn't have won the battle. So let me tell you something, guys. Hers are important. They're important to the man of God. And if you're a man of God in here, and you've got a pulpit, you want some hers. You want some guys that are willing just to burn themselves up serving you because you're serving the master. And that's the way I was with my pastor. Now, my pastor graduated, and they came to me, and they asked me, said, brother, would you consider taking the church? I said, I'll pray about it. Now, I know that, you know, you'd think, well, you're logically the one to be it. You're the associate pastor. You ought to step right in. You should have just said yes. No. And have some wisdom, folks. Because you're fixing to step into a mess. You got a man that's been in the ministry 40-something years who's at his home church, whom his family loves.
Amen.
You're going to have to tread real lightly.
Amen.
Now, they love me. I've been up there long enough. They love me. They do. They love me to death. But even with that, you ain't blood. I like you all right, boys. You know, you're a pretty good feller. But you ain't kin. Okay. I understand. So you're going to have some attributes that you're going to have to possess. And I said, I'll pray about it. I'll pray about it. God gives it to me. I'll take it. I never told God no on anything. Anything. Never told God no. When God said, you know, when God called me to preach, I didn't run from it. God said, I'm calling you to preach. I just said, okay. What you want me to do? Why? Because that's the way I was taught. I was taught to work. And when the job came out, whatever the job was, that's what you did. You didn't look at it, you know. Oh, we're going to put this boiler in. I need you to, once it cools off a little bit, in about 15 minutes, once you start running that conduit up there. If you know anything about boilers, it takes a lot longer than 15 minutes to cool off. So once you start running that thing, okay, all right. And we need to get that line up. Got that 480-volt motor up there. We're going to get it set. They're going to swing it across. I want you to have that conduit up there so we can pull it by the time it hits that pad. That was your job. That's why the foreman did it. He gave it out. And when God gave it out to me, I never questioned it. God said, I want you to preach. Okay. Now, I didn't have the wisdom that my pastor told me at the time. He said, go home and talk to your wife and y'all pray about it together. Kind of missed that part. So when I told my wife, God's called me to preach, my wife in her great manner said, you need to go talk to God again. Testify, sister, you know it's true. Amen. She said, you need to go back and talk to God. I knew I shouldn't have skipped that step. So when God called me, wherever He called me to, I went. Because that's what I did. I worked. That's all I knew. I knew how to work. So whatever God wanted me to do, I worked at it. And so I end up here at Sweetwater and just went to work. Went to work for the pastor when he got there. And the whole time, just whatever he needed me to do. King's Kids. Okay, brother. Vacation Bible School. Okay, brother. Visitation, okay, brother. Whatever he needed me to do. And so now, I'm pastor. Ta-da! Now what are you going to do? All his stuff's in his office. But I'm pastor. What do you do? You going to move it? You going to go in there and pack it up? What you going to do? His name's on the sign out front. You going to go out there and pull it off and put your name on it? You ain't kin. So you got to be very lightly. You know, the brothers have talked about it this morning and even the whole time I've been here about sheep. You know, sheep, you lead sheep, you drive cattle. drive cattle, you lead sheep. And like the brother said earlier about sheep, you know, there's things about sheep. You know, when in the Bible, if you study sheep, you anointeth my head with oil. Do you know they really pour oil on the sheep's head because there's a parasite that'll get up there on its wool and gets bedded down into its scalp. And they actually use oil. And he's right about, you know, if you don't shear them, you know, it can hurt them. Because the sheep can't get up off his back. Can't roll over. If he gets too heavy, you got to pick him up. So you got to be real careful with sheep. Sheep seem to be durable, but they're really very tender. And so now I'm pastor. And, you know, I'm the pastor. Don't work that way. You've got to be very careful with them. You want to lead them, guide them. Do you have your office? Nope. Don't want it either. Ain't no hurry for it. Why? Because I love them more than I love an office.
Amen.
Is your name on the sign? Yes, somebody put it up there. I don't know who. I wasn't about to touch it. I wouldn't even park in the pastor's parking lot, parking spot, till they made me. Why? Because I loved him too.
Amen.
And I'd much rather been there holding his arm up than in the position I'm in.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to give you, young men and young preachers, don't be in too hurry. You can hurt people very, very easily. You use a great hymnal. They don't use that hymnal. They use that Church of God redback. You want me to change it? Not on your life. Not right now. I'm not. I might in time. But it's time.
Amen.
You see, I appreciate that, but I'm not trying. I'm really trying to do what Doc asked me to do. Is to give you some information to help you. Whatever area you're in, and everybody's different. I'm in East Tennessee with a bunch of hill people. You know what today is in East Tennessee? Opening day of smoke pole. Amen. Brother goes, amen. Yeah, and them boys hunt, fish, anything. When deer season's done, we're gonna rabbit hunt in July and January. We get done rabbit hunting, we're getting ready for spring gobbler. We get done with spring gobbler, we're gonna fish. Because trout season starts. As soon as trout season's done, we're getting ready for bow season. Because we hunt bow, we hunt smoke pole, and we hunt rifle. And you say, what does that got to do with anything? Try to plan some services around that.
Amen.
See? You got to be careful with that. You got to be careful with that. The fact that you are dealing with the, wherever you're at, you need to learn your people. Because you're going to deal with it. That's what I'm dealing with. Now, my pastor was extremely good at it. There's a motto in our church. You don't get married during hunting season. You don't have babies in hunting season. You're laughing. They're serious. I got some boys up there. They said, honey, we can't get married. That's hunting season. Now, you try doing a revival in hunting season. Or you try doing, hey, listen, you try to do a Christmas play. You got to know these boys take that serious. Now, where you're at or where you may be in a farming community during harvest time. Corn's got to come in. The wheat's got to be done. You got to be mindful of the sheep. Now, real quick, turn over to 1 Peter. And I don't know what time I started, Doc. You just give me the look when I need to shut up and I'll sit down, I promise. If it's now, I will now. Am I good? All right. 1 Peter, real quick. 2 Peter chapter 1. I do apologize. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. If you look in verses 1, 1, 3, and 4, you see some things that God gave you. There's some precious promises mentioned there. There's some things from the Lord. But notice in verse 5, beside these things, give diligence to add to your faith. Give diligence to add to your faith. I'm going to say it again. Give diligence to add to your faith. Who's doing the adding? It's your faith. You add to your faith. If you're going to serve, if you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be an evangelist, you're going to be something where you're going to be dealing with sheep, you're going to have some qualifications. When we do a job, if you come in there and work on, you want to come in on my crew, you want to work with me, you're going to have, show me some qualifications that you're able to do. In other words, you just can't walk in and have a pair of linemans in your hand and a screwdriver and say, I'm an electrician, because I can spell it. I can spell electrician, so I are one, you know. Amen. It don't work that way. You got to have some qualifications. And the Lord says here, He says you need to add some things. And these are the qualifications. Brother's talking about doing some stacking blocks. And he was laughing and he said, hey, brother, did you see that about blowing out the wall thing? I've had block walls blow out. We was working a job, we was doing a building, and we laid the block. The guy that laid the block, when he was laying the block, I said, hey, that's not right. He goes, yeah, that's right. I said, I'm telling you, I know I'm an electrician. I've been on a lot of building sites, and that's not how you lay block. I said, because you're laying it wrong. You ain't putting no wire in between. You ain't pouring no cells. I said, as soon as them boys skin this on the back, put the waterproofing on it, and they start to backfill and get done with the French drain around it, they're going to backfill that thing, and I said, that's going to blow out. Sure enough, when they was bugging it, it blew out. So now you got a mess. We did a last job that I did before I switched jobs was down here in Florida, in just south here in Orlando. We did it's about 120,000 square foot building for Coca-Cola, and we put a 10,000 square foot freezer unit in, and we was dealing that, and there's nothing worse than doing jobs in Florida. I'm sorry, I like y'all, but y'all's codes are so meticulous. It took me forever dealing with the city to get something done to cut the curb so I could put a driveway in. You know, so I could get cement trucks in there to do the pouring for the parking lot. I actually had trucks jumping the curb, had traffic stop, called them, I got traffic stop. I was having them to have them jump the curb and run them in there to pour the concrete, because I needed that concrete poured to get it done so I could set the guardhouse so I could finish and be on time on my schedule. And the inspector showed up to inspect, and he seen him jumping the curb, and he just went ballistic on me. So what'd you do? I talked to him and reassured him and counseled with him and had my guy keep them trucks going. So while he was busy gnawing on me, I had trucks. And by the time he got done gnawing on me, and the time that we got done with that and everything else, concrete was poured. What are you saying that? You got to have some qualifications. Sometimes you got to take a chewing. Real quick, and I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Notice here he says you add to your faith. Notice it says virtue. Now, virtue is a thing that if you look it up in a dictionary, it would say good. You're a good person, you know. But it's more than that in the instance of what he's trying to get across. It's an energy of goodness. It's a virtue. It's something that you put in you. And notice it's the first thing that you add. Something you want to notice here is what's added and the order they're added in. Because if you put them out of order, you're going to be messed up. You need virtue first. That's a moral standing, a moral righteousness, a moral goodness on you. That you, in other words, you get this energy that you want to be good and be clean. And this moral goodness that you want to have, this virtue. Amen? So he wants to say, add virtue and to virtue knowledge. And the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness. Notice the elevation of each one. and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity being the top one. That would be your master's. So you have these degrees of qualifications as you go through. And listen, young men, it takes time to get those qualifications. And you've got to put some effort and you have to add them in by work. That's where the sweat equity, or as Doc says, putting the skin in the game. And I sat there with that old man, and as his health failed, I tried to hold his arm up. Amen. And I was happy holding his arm up, and the whole time I'm trying to get some things so that I can help him.
Amen.
And his vision is greater than mine. He's looking forward into the future because he wanted to make sure he took care of the church and the sheep.
Amen.
And so when the sheep, and he graduated, and the sheep come to me, God said, okay, you're ready now. But I was 59 years old before I was ready.
Amen.
You willing to wait? Young man, are you willing to wait? Amen. I tell you, I wanted to give you those things. I'm really not trying to preach, and I'm done, brother. I know we got other brothers coming on here, and I want to get them up here, and I'm a lot better guys than me, but I do appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk to you this morning. And I hope maybe you got something. I don't know. I'm not real eloquent, not real smart. But I hope it maybe you got something. Amen, brother. Come on. For all it's worth. Amen.